In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon. Greg Kokel will join us here in just a moment. You may have seen it. I saw it in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, nationally syndicated columnist Leonard Pitts Jr. They can't say what we can't accept. The gist of the column is that, well, we've seen it, haven't we? We've seen prominent men, mostly, who sometimes crusade against homosexuality, later admit to being gay. Leonard Pitt says, they can't say what we can't accept. If we can accept it, then they can say it, and people have to will then no longer need to lie or give alibis or justifications for who they really are. Is the difficulty in admitting homosexuality, perhaps the guilt or shame associated with it, simply a societal moray, part of our culture that we need to, say, clean out and grow up on? Greg Kokel will join us. I'd like you to join us as well. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Greg Kokel is founder and president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, and he's author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Leonard Pitts Jr. says there are an awful lot of repressed, kind of closeted gay men out there who eventually always get caught. The shame they associate with it, perhaps even their previous crusades against homosexuality, really the product of society's prejudice and simply a bias against homosexuality morally. What's your response?
Well, I guess I'd have to plead guilty to the bias against homosexuality if what one means is that many in society have already judged homosexuality to be wrong. And therefore, when somebody is championing their homosexuality or they are coming out of the closet and celebrating it, then those people who have drawn the conclusion, for whatever reasons, that homosexuality is wrong are going to render a judgment on it. Now, I read Leonard Pitts's article here carefully, and it seems like he's pointing to the reluctance of people to come out of the closet, and he says it's odd because, as he writes here, there's just something ineffably pathetic of the inability of these middle-aged men in the year of our Lord 2010, post Will and Grace, post Ellen DeGeneres, post Barney Frank, Elton John, Meredith Baxter, Neil Patrick Harris, to simply stand up and say those three simple words, which are, "I am gay." Now, what he doesn't seem to understand, and this is another take on this whole thing, he's saying, why is it when there is so much public coming out and encouragement and Hollywood and the laws and the left and everything are encouraging it, why are these men so frightened to come out? Now, he implies that it's because of the terrors of bias on the right, but I have another explanation. Maybe these people are frightened to come out because they themselves have misgivings about the propriety of their own impulses. Maybe deep down inside, they think that their own feelings are somehow morally suspect, and this is why they're hiding. They're actually ashamed. They're not afraid of the bias of other people or all that might enter into it, but it might be that deep down inside, they're ashamed because they have these impulses that they think are unnatural. Now, I'm just speculating on that one, Todd. I actually think one of the reasons that homosexuals are so completely thin-skinned when it comes to disapproval is because deep down inside, they suspect there might be something wrong with their desires as well, and they don't want anybody reminding them of it, and so they can't stand even the slightest hint that there's something untoward or inappropriate about their either their desires or their conduct. I think that's a legitimate alternate explanation. Now, it's not one that Leonard Pitts is going to entertain, of course, because his view is that, as he puts it at the end, why don't we just accept the obvious, and I'm quoting now from the piece, gay is not a choice, gay is not a sin, gay is not a shame. Well, I think that gay is not a choice in the strict understanding of that word. I think he wants to imply that it is somehow determined by their biology. First of all, science hasn't demonstrated that. Secondly, it's not relevant, it seems to me, to the moral question. If I was determined by my biology to have a sexual attraction to children or something, that certainly wouldn't sanitize the attraction, even if I never acted on it. So I don't think that's a good way to argue. I'm wondering if what is obvious is just the opposite, that not that gay is not a sin and gay is not a shame, but that what we're learning from these people who are still in hiding, even with the incredible public encouragement to come out, I think what we're learning is maybe what is obvious is that gay is not normal, gay is not healthy, and gay is not good. And my question to Mr. Pitts is, why can't we just say that?
Is it part of a bigger context here, Greg, that our unwillingness to recognize that there's a right and a wrong here, even with something as personal as human sexuality and orientation, that there is an objective right or wrong here, is it part of a bigger societal shift or a shift in the way we think about right and wrong?
Yeah, you're referring here to the relativism, and I think that that plays a part. That plays a role in the kind of impulse that people have to reject moral judgments against things like this. I'm not going to take that as total explanation, though, Todd. And the reason is because, as you know, we've talked about this before. I think deep down inside, nobody's really a relativist. And it turns out that Leonard Pitts's article is very moralistic. He's moralizing all the time. In fact, he even offers, perhaps that sounds judgmental, perhaps it is. In other words, when he is kind of chiding these closet homosexuals for not coming out, he is actually faulting them morally for not being true to themselves. Now, if relativism were really true and these people were very thoroughgoing in their convictions of relativism, they couldn't chide people for not coming out. They couldn't chide people for coming out. They couldn't complain morally about homosexuality, and they couldn't object morally about those who object morally to homosexuality. I mean, that's what relativism really requires. It requires utter and complete neutrality with regards to any of these things when it comes to moral questions. But I think there is a kind of morality, an alternate morality that is objective morality that's being expressed here, but I think there's this relativistic impulse that you put your finger on that, of course, allows them the comfort, at least, of railing against traditional morality as if they were relativists, but they're not, because they just offer an alternate morality and are objectivists about that.
So there's a new wrong. The new wrong is hiding your homosexuality, being ashamed of it, and then to a greater extent, those of us who still believe that there is an objective right and wrong and say homosexuality is wrong and harmful. That's the new wrong.
Yeah, that's right. I think you're right about that. It's shame on us for judging these men and making them cower in the corner, and shame on these men for not having the courage of their convictions to step out in the light and admit who they are, because after all, there's nothing wrong with it. And by the way, this statement I read a moment ago is his theme, is his whole point. Gay is not a choice, gay is not a sin, and gay is not a shame. But he doesn't give any evidence or any argument anywhere in the entire piece to support that notion. He plays with our emotions, he chastises the cowards in the closet, and then he just declares these things as so. And I think that the cowards are in the closet because it's just the opposite that's true. Gay is not normal, gay is not healthy, and gay is not good. And that's why they're still hiding, even though there are many who will encourage them to come out and celebrate what they think inside really is sin.
Greg Kokel is founder and president of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California. He's author of the book Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. You can purchase Tactics at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Greg.
Good talking to you, Todd. Thank you.
Well, when we come back, we've got hour two straight ahead. Audio open lines. We're going to play a little bit of Bart Stupak's press conference after he and six other pro-life Democrats, should we still be calling them this, pro-life Democrats, they decided to vote for President Obama's health care reform. Key decision made. They did it because, they say, the president agreed to sign an executive order that would safeguard us against federal funding for abortion in health care reform. That was enough for them. Was it enough for you? Who compromised? This is the question I want you to answer in the second hour of the program. Who compromised here on the issue of abortion and health care reform? President Obama, in signing the executive order, and there are many in the pro-choice community who say he's not a compromise. He's betrayed them, they say. Or Congressman Bart Stupak and five other pro-life Democrats. Who compromised on abortion and health care reform? I want your answer to that question. Audio open lines when we start hour two of Issues, Etc. in just about 7 minutes. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can email us with questions or comments as well. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll get those emails right here in the studio in real time. Or as always, you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Who compromised on the issue of abortion and health care reform? President Obama or Congressman Bart Stupak and five other pro-life Democrats? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues, Etc., audio open lines, and your answer to that question in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.